Good morning. It's 7:49 and you are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Friday, August 3rd, 2012. I'm Holly Keene and this is Raven News. The Coast Guard is scheduled this morning to inspect the waters off of West Chichagof Island where a fishing boat sank yesterday. A sizable oil sheen after the incident forced an emergency closure of the area's purse seine fishery. Coast Guard Sector Juneau received word yesterday morning that the 50-foot Evening Star went down in Slocum Arm, some 40 miles northwest of Sitka. The vessel was reported to have capsized when hauling in loaded salmon nets. U.S. Coast Guard Petty Officer Sarah Francis says a Good Samaritan vessel, the Chickamine, rescued all five crew members and transported them to Sitka in good condition. The Evening Star is registered out of Sitka and, according to the Coast Guard, was carrying 1,000 gallons of diesel at the time it sank. The boat is in about 300 feet of water. Fishery managers called an emergency closure for purse seining off of West Chichagof after spotting an oil sheen about three-quarters of a mile in length. The closure began at 4 p.m. Thursday and affects all the waters of Slocum Arm, Ford Arm, Falcom Arm, Cass Bay, and south of 9-foot Shoal Light. A search and rescue effort to find a missing plane between Juneau and Gustavus yesterday is now a recovery mission. A crew from Juneau-based Coastal Helicopters spotted wreckage from the Air Excursions Piper Cherokee about 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon. A Juneau Mountain Rescue team later found the pilot's body at the crash site near Point Howard, 23 miles west of Juneau. He was the only one on board. Coast Guard Lieutenant Ryan Erickson says an MH-60 Jayhawk from Air Station Sitka dropped the JMR team as close as it could get to the wreckage.
Ended up having to drop about a half mile away or so. Couldn't get them any closer just because of the terrain. It was so so steep. And once they got on scene, they were able to verify it was the plane that was missing.
Erickson would not release any information about the pilot, though he says the family has been notified. A woman who answered the phone at Air Excursions Juneau office yesterday declined to comment. The company provided flight seeing and scheduled service in several northern southeast communities. The Coast Guard will assist Alaska State Troopers with recovery today if needed. The plane was reported missing about 9:15 yesterday morning. It had been en route to Juneau to Gustavus and was due to arrive at 8:55 a.m. The pilot last made contact with flight service around 8:47. The Coastal Helicopter and Jayhawk conducted the initial aerial search, joined later by Civil Air Patrol. Troopers coordinated with Juneau Mountain Rescue on the ground search. Erickson says low clouds and rain hampered their efforts throughout the day. A Sitka-based seafood processor is taking heat from locals after purchasing trawl-caught fish. Silver Bay Seafoods brought rockfish from two trawlers delivering to the company's plant in Sitka. Southeast waters are close to trawling, and while no one is disputing the legality of the catch, representatives of various fishing interests say the purchase undermines the ban. In the face of that reaction, the company apologized for not giving that viewpoint more consideration. But the CEO also says that they had the best interests of their country, of the company, and the community in mind. KCAW's Ed Ronco reports.
The 47-foot fishing vessel West Bank has just tied up in Sitka's A&B Harbor, fresh off a three-day black cod trip. Captain Richie Davis sits in the wheelhouse.
Fishing was real slow. We were snap-on fishing. We do our long line of different than the big production guys do. We had someone else's quota to catch on our own. So
Davis is on the board of the Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association, or ALFA for short. He's also one of eight people to sign an open letter opposing a local processor's recent purchase of trawl-caught rockfish. The letter was posted throughout Sitka and also carries the name of a local troller, the head of the Sitka Conservation Society, two subsistence gatherers, the Seafood Producers Cooperative, a charter captain, and a sport fisherman. Davis's signature is at the top.
I just wanted the people of Sitka to know that there are other activities that go on out here that aren't necessarily compatible with the future of what you've built your community on.
Boats that trawl, T-R-A-W-L, drag nets through the water or along the bottom of the ocean. The nets scoop up almost everything in their path, and that means a lot of bycatch, or fish the boat is not targeting. Depending on the species, the fish could wind up thrown back into the ocean, dead. Trawl gear also can damage fish habitat and the seafloor.
The bycatch of halibut in the Gulf of Alaska by the trawl fleet is 5 million pounds. The whole southeast quota this year for the directed halibut fishery was 2.6 million pounds.
Linda Benkin is executive director of the Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association. She pushed hard for the ban on trawling in southeast waters that took effect in 1998.
We've protected this area from that, protected the habitat from that, and don't want to see those gains in terms of resource protection and community-level protections reversed.
Silver Bay says the fish were caught by midwater trawlers, not bottom trawlers, and that they were destined for harvest regardless of where they ended up being processed. Still, Benkin worries that trawler deliveries in Sitka could weaken the ban in southeast. Here's her argument. About a decade ago, the North Pacific Fishery Management Council started a process to, quote-unquote, rationalize Gulf of Alaska ground fisheries, basically to find ways to divvy out who gets to catch what among certain species, such as Pacific cod, pollock, and rockfish. Benkin says the council pulled back from the project when Sarah Palin became governor, knowing she opposed it.
Now the council is starting that process again. They just put the industry on notice this past spring that we're starting to look at rationalizing these fisheries again. We're not sure what form that'll take.
But she says it's possible the council will look at what areas have had what fisheries, and they'll look to processors, too. Benkin's concern is that if the council sees trawl deliveries in Sitka, it might allocate trawl quota in southeast.
So I think that's why this is a much bigger deal than one trawl delivery. It's just a lot of concern about the precedent being set and what that might lead to.
She says her hope in drafting the letter, and the hope of those who signed it, is that Silver Bay's purchase was a one-time event. They want the company to avoid trawl-caught fish in the future. Silver Bay CEO Rich Riggs was not available for an on-tape interview, but he told KCAW that in the future, the company will give additional consideration to community sentiments. Riggs and Silver Bay issued a letter Thursday that says the company did not anticipate the adverse reactions buying the rockfish would cause. He apologized for that, writing, quote, "I simply did not anticipate and give further consideration to the community values shared by many in Sitka relative to the trawl fishery expanding further to processing. No different than as a community, we don't demand that our local grocery stores or fast food restaurants rid their freezer cases of products made with Alaska's pollock and or cod harvested by trawl gear," unquote. Silver Bay Seafoods, Riggs says, is not a proponent of trawling in southeast waters that were closed back in 98. He says the company and its managers had theirs and the community's best interests in mind when making the purchase. Based on state forecasts, Silver Bay says its Sitka plant was facing a 72% drop in salmon production from last year. Managers at the plant saw the rockfish purchase as a chance to help make up for the salmon drop-off and expand the company's processing activities. He said he invites anyone who's concerned to talk about the subject with him one-on-one. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
You can read the open letter from Sitka Fishermen and the letter from Silver Bay Seafoods. They're both posted on our website, kcaw.org. Phyllis Hackett joins a list of candidates for municipal office yesterday. The incumbent's term expires in October. She'll be on the ballot with Matthew Hunter and Michelle Putz for one of three open assembly seats. Three people have declared candidacy for mayor. Cheryl Westover is seeking a re-election and facing challenges from assembly members Min McConnell and Tor Christensen. There are also two seats available on the school board. Cass Pook is seeking re-election. She and Tom Conley both see their terms expire this year. The ballot is not final. Interested residents have one more day to file. Packets can be picked up at the municipal clerk Colleen Ingman's office at City Hall and must be returned by 5 p.m. today. A new energy conservation effort is targeting home power and heating costs in more than a dozen southeast Alaska communities. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
The Energy Sense program is part research and part action. It's hiring 28 southeast residents who will become home energy consumption assessors. Tasha McCoy, who coordinates the program for the Tlingit-Haida Regional Housing Authority, says the assessors will be trained in mid-September, then begin their work.
We're going to be going into 400 homes and working 8 hours in each of the homes to teach the actual home dweller energy efficiency and energy conservation.
The program will focus on single-family homes. A later program will include apartments and businesses. McCoy says assessors will gather information about needs specific to each community. It will be used to secure more funding.
This is a research effort. We're also going to be putting up to $300 in energy efficiency supplies in each of the 400 homes that we're going to.
That money can be spent on window wrap, water heater blankets, and compact fluorescent light bulbs. It can also be used towards appliance and heating system upgrades. McCoy says Energy Sense is meant to complement a separate weatherization program also run by the Tlingit-Haida Regional Housing Authority. A main focus will be on Angoon, Hoona, Cake, and Yakutat, which have some of the region's highest energy costs.
For example, in Cake, everyone uses a freezer because everyone pretty much does a lot of subsistence. Same with Angoon. So if they have old freezers and that energy is being drawn from those old freezers and causing them to have really high energy costs, we want to make sure that we try and find funding to get them new freezers and things like that.
The program will also be active in Craig, Haines, Heidelberg, Juneau, and Kassan. Other locations are Ketchikan, Kluock, Petersburg, Saxman, Skagway, and Wrangell. In addition to home visits, educational energy fairs will reach out to more community residents. Fairs scheduled so far include September 22nd in Juneau, September 28th in Craig, October 13th in Saxman, and October 25th in Cake. Energy Sense is funded by grants from a federal tribal energy program, a native housing program, and First Bank. I'm Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or would like to hear them again, please visit us online at kcaw.org. And here's a look at Sitka Zone weather. Today, expect patchy fog in the morning, rain, highs around 58, southwest wind 5 miles per hour. Tonight will be mostly cloudy, chance of rain in the evening, patchy fog, lows around 50. Saturday will be mostly cloudy, chance of rain, northeast wind 10 miles per hour, highs around 60. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka.